Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to
Popping the Questions.
The Questions.
The podcast.
The podcast. Not about getting engaged, but it is about engaging
with others.
And yourself and your own mind and your own wants and needs and thoughts.
And your own monster within.
Yes, like we did last week. This week we are not as monstrous.
No, definitely not.
No. Full of positivity, radiating good energy. And Taylor's a little sick, but she's muscling through.
Oh, I have all the hustle.
So much hustle. You're made of it.
I'm made of hustle
you're
and iron.
90% hustle, 5% iron, and 5% grit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's what it said on her birth certificate.
That's what are on the nutrition facts that came with me.
Someone's going to eat you?
Yes.
You have plenty of iron for your daily diet.
That's right.
Well, hello. Welcome to Popping the Questions. This is where we talk about love and intimacy and relationships.
And ships and relationships.
About
and
those questions those philosophical psychologists made. Taylor, what are the questions this week that we're talking about?
Oh my gosh, it's the end of set one. I know we got here so fast.
That means after this one, we will have done 12 questions and made 12 songs.
I know.
Whoa.
So question 11, which is yours, is take 4 minutes and tell your partner your life story in as much detail as possible.
Can I tell you that is very stressful?
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited for it.
It is fun, but also like once you get down, you're like, oh, that wasn't enough time.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
And number 12, which was my question, is if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. Flying. Done.
Well, I guess thanks for tuning in this week, everybody.
Hey, guys. Short episode this week. The correct answer was flying.
Okay.
Cool. So I had question 11. 11's my question.
That's
so
right.
I go first this week.
Uh-huh.
Cool. So, I spoke with my dear friend, Hannah Williams.
Oh.
You know Hannah.
I do.
You met. At one point, you were twins.
Once.
Yes, and then you separated. So, Hannah's a dear friend of mine, one of my oldest friends in Chicago, very talented actor, very generous soul, very kind human. Hannah and I go way back. So, I've been wanting to ask Hannah one of these questions for a couple weeks now. We finally got together. And she was, like, stressed about it because she was like, oh, what if I do a bad job? Because that's just how she is. She worries. And I was like, you're going to be great. And so we met during lunch the other day, and I asked her her question. And this was – it really is kind of a very interesting, parameter to put on someone's life story to deliver it in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that's hard to do because you start rambling or you get off on a certain topic. So, like, I told her, I was like, okay, give me a minute of childhood elementary. Give me a minute of, like, junior high, like – puberty, give me a minute, or like junior high school, give me a minute of college, and then give me a minute to like go up to now, which was a good way to kind of condense it. And I would give her minute markings and be like, gotta talk about this. And so she would, so that way we actually probably talked for about 4.5 minutes because we were like, gotta finish up your life story.
You're a rule breaker.
I know, but it was very interesting because we both did it. And so I'll probably do another version of the 4 minute life story of myself on it later.
Yes.
Once we ask it for each other. But what we discovered is that, I mean, Hannah and I have been friends for about 3 years. And we know each other pretty well, and we've talked a lot, but, you know, there's still things you don't know about each other's childhood. And there's also just things that you learn from your friends whenever you talk about with them. And we realize that we have just a very similar upbringing, because she was also raised very Christian.
Uh-huh.
She said she was, like, a very awkward, like, shy kid, didn't have very many friends except for, like, her brother and, like, friends from church and stuff. And didn't really come into her own until, like, junior high and high school. When she started playing sports and then doing theater.
Sure.
Where she, like, started making friends and kind of realized that, like, this was sort of got out of her shell a little bit. Which was very similar for me. Like, I was very very shy, very smart, like, nerdy, kind of chubby kid that no one liked because I cried all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then junior high was really bad. And then when I started playing, like, sports and, like, doing choir and theater and stuff, I made a lot of friends, and I kind of came out of my shell and had a lot of fun.
Right.
So very similar in that way. And then also very similar in how we both kind of, quote unquote, lost our religion.
Yeah.
Because it was very similar in that we both kind of started doing theater and, like, did shows and met new people, especially, like, gay people. And you're right, just met actual gay people. And then realized they weren't monsters or, like, you know, going to hell or anything because of their life. Because literally the way they were born. So we kind of just both grew away from the church and started exploring life and morality outside of a religious background. as like adults in Chicago, kind of, and I a little bit for me in college, but and we both did theater in college. Like, she jumped away. She was going to go to school on a sports scholarship and then was like, no, I'm going to do theater.
Wow.
Yeah. And her parents are pretty religious and they're very nice, but they're also like, she like had to go to a Christian school, like they were, or else they wouldn't help pay for it. So, yeah, I know.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, but it was interesting. And so when I wrote, and we actually had a really great long talk after that about sort of how growing up religious has helped us, what we like about it, what we don't like about it, the different ways that it can kind of fuck us over nowadays, and also how it's hard to relate to your family whenever they love you in such a different way than how you love. And so I wrote the song. I wanted it to be more light this week, and I was kind of tired of writing sad songs. So it's a little bit of a story song and a little bit of just like sort of snapshots of me and Hannah's sort of parallel upbringing, I guess.
Cool.
So let's listen to it and we'll talk about it more in a second.
Sounds good.
Lovely. Spindly little girl with her elbow sticking out. Chunky little guy, love to laugh and love to pout. He would always cry when he didn't get his way. She was always shy, never knew quite what to say. But they were both so happy. Not sure how. Yeah, they were both so happy. How about now? She tried out for the team, and she got a shot. He started to sing, thought that he was pretty hot. They both found their way, and their voice up on that stage. And it suited them well, while they came of age. And they were both so happy. Not sure how. Yeah, they were both so happy. How about now? But their parents never told them about the birds and the bees. Thought that they had done enough playing righteous seeds. But when they grew older, they both realized they had needs. So they met them. They learned to love the rainbow and the storm that came before. They learned to love all people and they learned to hate all war. Their family doesn't understand just quite what they stand for. But they love now. But love looks different when you're on the other side. And they both cannot count the times they've made their mama cry. Maybe they'll be happy once everybody's died. What will come then? Strong young woman with a ring on her hand. Grown up little boy without a prayer or a plan. Pictures getting clearer as they stumble on their way. The end's getting nearer every hour, every day. And they are both so happy right now. Yeah, they are both so happy. Now they know how.
Okay, wow! Yay!
It's a little sweeter and softer than what I've been turning in lately.
It is very sweet. I could really, like, see the story taking place. I want to see, like, an interpretive
dance
of it done, honestly.
Yes. I wanted to keep it, I don't know, simple, I guess, and kind of, because it was just interesting. One of the things Taylor and I talked about, which was just how interesting it is to see your, when you look back on your life and to kind of see how very how very clearly you can see how one thing progresses to the other in retrospect, and you're like, oh, a lot of things make sense about who I am right now.
Yep.
And when you just look at everything, especially when you break it down into 4 minutes, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense about who I am. Mm. And I just had the sense of, I wanted there to be almost a dreamlike state of looking back and remembering.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through different life changes and stuff. And that's why I did the projector.
Yeah, I loved that. I loved that.
And I wanted to keep the beat with the like the changing of slides.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, a little on the nose, but also it's just what it's like, the sort of feeling I wanted to create with the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like a memory song.
Yeah, I definitely saw a little chunky Josiah and Hannah running around in your parallel lives.
Well, and what's interesting is I think that like when I was writing it, I don't know, I feel like in general, these kind of songs, if it's talking about like two people or whatever, you'd expect them to like get together in the end or something. But
you're just happy.
We're just happy in our lives. And like, I don't know. And I wanted to, I guess, sort of secret out into the world, like the idea of me being happy, because I am sometimes. And I don't know, like just like being like, they know how to be happy now. And it's also just something we talked about, you know, dealing with our parents and the sort of different ways they think and believe and love because of their religion.
Yeah.
And the ways that we do without that. And it's hard. But, you know, you have to find ways to deal with that forever. Because that's your family.
Yeah.
You got to deal with it. But that's my song.
I loved it. I loved it. It was really sweet.
Yeah, it's not spooky folk.
It's not spooky folk, and it's not Peppy Death March or whatever I said it was last week.
Yeah, it's just a little sweet, simple little song.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and then let's get on to, yeah, it's kind of weird that we'll dig in deeper later, I think, because these last couple weeks have been doozies, and that question is a little less of a doozy, because it's more just like a, hey, summer up your life. So the old question was, if you could wake up tomorrow with any ability or
quality,
what would it be? So Taylor, who did you talk to?
I talked to Miss Lexi Aliotto.
Aliotto. Great human being.
Love her.
Talented,
the power
hilarious
of a thousand suns.
Very hardworking woman.
Yes, it was wonderful. We were catching up and stuff, and basically we kind of discussed like whether this ability or quality would be like within the realm of possibilities, mm-hmm. like a quality or ability that you could like plausibly have. And then like also like what qualities or abilities like that don't exist that like just would be like a superhuman.
Right.
But basically like we kind of talked a lot about what would just really affect our interpersonal relationships versus like what would be best for like the world. And Lexi's answer was that she would like to be able to wake up and sort of be fearless in a way that she doesn't necessarily feel like she is. Like, we know her to be a confident, strong lady.
Yes.
But, you know, beneath that, of course, is, like, a little insecurity, a little, like, anxiety, a little, like...
But of course.
We're all human. We all, like, have that... like, you know, instinct to, like, be a little afraid of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she would get rid of it. She would get rid of that whole fear thing entirely. But something she also touched on a little bit was, like, being able to wake up and be, like, entirely yourself all of the time. Because she was talking about how, like, you know, you can compartmentalize certain parts of yourself around different people.
Totally.
And she would like to not do that and just be...
be able to be 100% Lexi all the time.
Yes.
I like that.
Exactly.
Although, quick comment, both of those, very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
I totally agree. That's what I said.
Like, fear, all sense of... because fear is sometimes good.
I know. That's why we don't eat the berries.
Mm-hmm.
The
and
poison
also,
berries.
Compartmentalizing yourself is also sometimes safer.
Yes, correct.
One, like, it's interesting, no fear, because, like, we, you know, I'm sure she meant it probably in more, like, social situations and being able to, like, you know, do whatever she wants without, you know, that nagging voice in the back of her head being like...
Yeah, also work.
Work, yeah.
Yeah, auditions and stuff.
Totally. Yeah. But then, you know, we also think of that being like, I'm not scared of that lion, I'm gonna fight it.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, not really probably what she was thinking, what she was saying.
Right.
But that kind of It's interesting, too, because I think in our modern era and day and age, we are afraid of a lot of things because we have that, like, fight or flight, like, a lion is chasing me thing when it's, like, we don't really have to be afraid of it because it's not going to kill us, but we feel like it's going to kill us.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. What did you say?
I went through a lot of answers because, like, whenever people ask me what my superpower would be, I say that I would like to have a lasso of empathy.
Wait, what your superpower would be or what you would want to have?
Well, yeah. Like, that's what I... That was, like... That's
because,
like,
those are different questions.
Okay. I'm getting there, okay? So, I always say that, but I was like, but maybe if I could have a more realistic one, it would just be to, like, master every instrument.
Yeah, that would be very nice.
And that would be, like, super great, and I would, like, feel really good about that. But eventually, I kind of landed on my ability would be that, like, a little bell or, like, whatever would go off in my head whenever somebody is wasting my time. because I hate having my time wasted a lot, and Josiah is dead. I killed him.
That's, like, a really, like... It's like a really mean, judgmental spider sense.
Yeah. But not in a mean way, necessarily.
I know, but I have several questions about this.
Okay.
Ability. Because first off, what's the metric for time wasting? Because what if it's doing really good things for them, but for you it's not? Like, is it all just your time?
It's about my time, correct. It's about my time being wasted.
Okay, and immediately I was thinking of just, like, if it's a boring conversation that you don't want to have. But is it a grander scale?
No, there's definitely a grander scope.
But what if, like, you're talking to your mom or something?
Well, you don't have to listen to it. You just have to be like, oh, this now they're wasting my time, and I can choose how much longer I want to invest in this, realistically.
This is a terrifying alternate universe you've created, because what if you meet someone for the first time and immediately the bell goes off? Like, you just automatically know that person is not going to offer you anything in any way for your entire life?
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Well, good people waste my time all day, Josiah.
I like how selfish you are in this answer right now. I like that.
Yeah, I was selfish last week too, because on our Facebook, everyone who said that they felt most grateful for, like, the people that they love and, like, their family and stuff, and I'm like, I'm the only person who is grateful for themselves. And their own self-preservation.
Hey, you know what? You can't control that. You just have your own answer, and that's what
it's
about.
So, again, my answer is self-focused. But, like, you know, like, sometimes you just can't tell if someone's wasting your time. Like, you're in a job interview.
Yeah.
Is your time being wasted right now?
Absolutely. Every job interview is a waste of time.
No, it's not. Stop.
Yes, it is.
Or you're at an audition, and you're, like, halfway through your monologue, and then they're like, can we hear something else? But are you wasting your time?
And then your little bell goes off, and you're like, oh, bye.
Or you're in a relationship. And
see, this is what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, you're in a relationship, and this person says, I love you.
And the bell's like,
ding, 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 ding,
wait,
ding.
Wait, but here's my other question. How much...
Wasting your time.
How much foresight...
Turn around. Do not pass go.
Like, how far in the future can the bell see? Because here's what I would say. Is that there is a difference between someone wasting your time in a short-term sense, like an audition or something like that, and in, for instance, a relationship, or let's say, you know, like in my instance, I'll use myself as an example. The one big long-term relationship I had lasted, like, almost a year, and looking back on it, one could just as easily say that my time was wasted, because I put a lot of time and energy into this person who didn't end up, you know, giving me anything back in the end. But one could also say that I learned a lot and grew a lot as a human, and it got me to where I am today. So how far into the future can the bell see, and how does it make that judgment call? Because if you never interact with anybody who's wasting your time, who might eventually waste your time, then will you ever take a chance, Taylor?
Well, okay. Here's what I'm saying. The bell is not cognizant.
It's just the facts.
It just is the facts. And so here's what I'm saying. There's like a scale here. There's people that you just immediately know are going to be wasting your time. They're in your life for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they can either be in your life for 10 seconds, or they can be in there for 45 minutes. But ultimately, you didn't need to be on hold with them.
Right.
Ding, bell goes off.
Okay.
When it comes to, like, relationships and things, like, okay, there's relationships that you learn from and you grow from, not a waste of your time. You are growing. You are becoming the person you're supposed to be. Relationships that you throw a lot of time and effort into, however, and you get out of it and you're like, yep, still want the things that I thought I wanted. Yeah, that was a fucking waste of fucking time.
Yes, here's once again where we both have on, I have on my rose-colored glasses and you have on your puke-colored ones.
Well?
Because I do think, I agree to a certain extent, but I think that, I think almost any relationship, romantic or otherwise, looking back on, with enough time maybe, you can look and say, I understand what I got out of that. I understand what I learned from that. But which is a very optimistic viewpoint, because there absolutely are trash garbage people who are just very selfish and are wasting everybody's time. So I understand where you're coming from. I'm just trying to, I'm looking for the weaknesses in your superpower.
Yep. And I totally, like, definitely, this is why it would be such a good comic book.
Yeah.
Because, like, there are totally, like, little plot holes and stuff that you could, you know, figure out with this power.
And also I'm thinking, like, how do we use this for the good of the world? So I think what we do is you have to, you personally, Taylor Walters Chapman, have to hold every public office. Every single one. And so then whenever we're in meetings with other, like, with anybody, whenever you're in any meeting and someone's like, yeah, I think we're going to go ahead and go through, and it's just like, ding, ding, and you're like, all right, bye, next. Right. Give me something real. And they're like, and they're like, okay, well, and so, like, that way, any deal, any treaty, any trade, whatever, you automatically know if they're bullshitting you.
Yeah.
So that's, you're going to be very busy, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I accept that responsibility. We talked a lot
about that, but I want to hear your song.
Okay, great.
So what inspired the song? Like, how did you...
So then the song was going to be about, like, you know, getting my self-power on and, like, nobody's wasting my time.
No.
I'm so confident, Lexi's answer. I have no fear. But then it kind of changed a little bit, and I also was sick today and wrote a song out of my range.
yay!
So, vocally, not my greatest. Also, I just don't know. My ears are plugged. Well, let's find out. Let's listen to it.
Okay, yay!
When you wake up every day just hoping that you'll last, with some genuine reflection of who you are from days past. But you fold yourself in paper dolls, a new face printed side by side. But they're all who you are, or at least that's what you like. Take it easy to get up in the morning and know I've got it going. Take it easy, make it easy. I know I did me right, take it easy. When you feel too spread thin to be an actual friend, you've got your 10-second pitch just to show you're not a bitch. And it's not that you don't care, you just can't be everywhere. And you mean it when you say, let's get lunch soon, babe, okay. But it ain't easy to follow through with plans. You'll know they'll understand. It ain't easy. It should be easy to send a simple text, meet up and reconnect. But it ain't easy. But despite the loops I fall into, at least I can admit, it ain't easy to get up in the morning, but I keep on going, though it ain't easy.
Taylor has a questioning look on her face.
I know that the mix is wrong. I know that the mix is wrong, but there's nothing I can do.
Don't worry. You have time before I post it, and you can tweak it.
Okay, I'll try and I don't know what'll happen. I don't know if my ears will be better by Sunday night.
I think overall I like the shape of the song, and I agree that there's some mixed things in the recording we just heard, like me and Taylor just heard. Probably the one that you guys end up hearing is going to be like a little edited.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, the one I just showed Taylor was an unfinished version of my song too. So which is sometimes what happens. There has been one time where I've had a completed recording to show Taylor, and she's always better about it than I am. But that was a really cool style too for you, like from you, that I haven't heard before, because it was sort of keeping with like more electronic music vibe of last week, but it had a cool like sort of grunge like rock feel to it, where it just kind of felt like it was this just woman who was just tired.
Yeah.
She's done. And like she's in her freaking garage and she's got the keyboard and she's just like, which is cool because we haven't heard that style from you before, which is, I like that you're like still turning in new styles.
That's literally all I can make today.
But it worked. It was a stripped down version of your style, but with a cool, like, I don't know, indie, like, grunge rock kind of thing going on.
Yeah,
and I dug it.
Yes.
And also the influences of the conversation were very clear.
Yeah.
The idea of it not being easy is like, either way, being like, you know, not afraid or like having to deal with people who are wasting your time and you know, putting yourself out there, like all of that was very clear and like rang through very clear in the text, which is great. I think that's something you're really good at in writing songs, is like I have a hard time, I don't know, specifics you're very good at specifics, and like I think it comes from your musical theater background and your music improv musical theater, and like write just in general when you write, you've written a lot of stuff. And I think you're great at like peppering in specifics and making a song feel like, oh, Taylor wrote this, or like, or the character in your song.
Yeah.
You can tell they have a point of view, and you can tell they've been through some stuff. Whereas like I feel like I have a harder time doing that, and I keep things a lot more. I write in metaphors and generalities.
Yeah. Well, actually,
and, like,
I was thinking about that today when I was writing. I was like, what if I like wrote this like totally separate ass metaphor looking extended.
Which is like, that's my jam, and I do that all the time.
I was thinking about doing it, but I like literally, my forehead was sweating. My headache was so bad. I was like, I just need to get through it.
Well, I do that so often. Like a lot of these songs I've written are just very metaphory. But and that was something for this song I wrote this week that I tried to break away from a little bit. It was being a lot more simple and just like sort of like get some deets in there about like real life.
Well, TBH, I didn't want to do your question because I didn't want to write a story song.
Right. Well, mine was kind of a story song.
A little bit, but it was still like...
It's hard to not write a story song when your inspiration is literally someone telling you their life story.
Exactly.
Well, do you want to ask each other the questions
now? I really do.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you my life story first, or do you
want... Yeah, I'm gonna time you.
Okay.
I'm gonna time you.
Give
Ready?
Okay.
I'll give you 1 minute warnings. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay, so I was born in Ames, Iowa, and then we moved to New Mexico where my little sister was born, and then we moved to Canyon, Texas, where my dad worked at WT for a long time, and my mom was a piano teacher, and I lived there my whole life, and I have four brothers and sisters, and one of them came into our family when he was, like, in high school, because he was friends with my brother and went to our church, and so that's all my brothers and sisters, and they're all spread out over the world now, and I grew up in elementary school, and I was nerdy and a little chubby and, like, very, very smart, but also cried all the time because I didn't like when things didn't go my way, and so I didn't have very many friends, and I cried a lot, and I had probably some emotional issues that weren't just, like, because we didn't really know what they were, and I was very hyper, and had a lot of, had a very active imagination, and then junior high was really bad because it started out on a really bad note because I just didn't have any friends, and I transferred to, like, it was like a new school and I just didn't know anybody, and I was very like just nervous and shy and didn't know anyone. And then in like 8th grade, 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade, I started playing sports. I started playing sports, specifically football, and sort of broke out of my shell and started doing choir in junior high, and like made a lot of friends there and played more music at like my worship band at church and also in bands in high school. And so, like, first part of high school, I knew everybody because I did everything. I did all the extracurriculars. And so I was, like, very, not popular, but I just knew a lot of people. And so, like, I had a lot of, like, people who liked me and had friends. Last part of high school, I stopped doing sports because I didn't have enough time for everything. So I was mostly just doing the art stuff, but still doing a lot of extracurriculars. Got really good grades, was still very smart, and like did a lot of stuff, theater and like choir specifically. Made Allstate Choir a couple times, and like my one act play went to a state. Like it was a great education in that sense. And then I went off to college for a semester at Oklahoma City University, and realized I was very depressed and didn't make any friends and wanted to die. Beep, and then boop. I came back to Canyon to go to WT, and that was when I had my first like suicide scare, where I like drove myself to the hospital because I was afraid I was going to do something bad. And then I learned that I was really depressed, and so I started getting therapy and the medication. And then I did Texas the Musical Drama for 3 summers in a row, where I met a lot of people, and like that's kind of where I started losing my religion, because I met gay people for the first time and like realized that they were like just normal people, and had a lot of fun. Texas like really put me back on the track of performing, and like really took me back on the track of like knowing that that's what I want to do with my life. So then I was a theater or a musical theater major at WT for 4 years or 3 years, and I graduated there with a degree, and I got to do a lot of cool things and had a lot of opportunities there that I wouldn't have had like a bigger school. And WT's got a great program for the kind of small school that it is. And I kind of went through a big hoe phase for a while, like once I lost my virginity, and slept, like didn't sleep, sort of slept around, and also just made out around with everybody because I didn't give a shit. And also was a little bit like immoral in how I treated women back then, because I just kind of didn't have a guiding compass since beep, I didn't boop, have beep, religion beep, anymore, and I hadn't like come to terms with like how to be a good person without that, which happened a little bit in Chicago too. I had a long-term girlfriend my senior year of WT, and we were going to move to Chicago together, and she broke up with me after I moved to Chicago, and so that kind of like destroyed my life a little bit for like the last couple of years. I finally feel like I'm getting out under the like shadow of that, but it also affected my relationships with women, and did like also some stuff that wasn't great, but I have learned a lot from it and feel like I'm better at that now. Also, I've been doing theater in Chicago and improv for the last 3 years, and I've been a part of a lot of cool teams and a lot of great new projects, and I've bounced around from day job to day job, and I just don't care about them at all, but I'm getting to do a lot of cool projects, and I get to make a lot of cool music along the way, in bands and like just myself.
10 seconds.
And yeah, I in general have come a long way since I was a little Bible thumping judgmental Christian, and now I'm a little more open minded and I love people, and here I am.
Yeah. Woo! That was pretty good.
Talking for 4 minutes straight is
exhausting. All right, I can't wait.
Okay, do you want me to time you?
I do. I don't want to have to look at the clock.
Do we want to both do ours and then dig into ask any questions, details we might want to talk about after that?
No, let's talk about yours first.
Okay.
Let's talk about yours first.
Okay. Anything jumped out that you want to talk about?
Oh man. I guess I just didn't realize until like really when you said it earlier on the podcast that like you like really are just like now, like it wasn't that long ago that like you like met gay people, and
yeah,
like it hasn't been that long for you.
No, so like that was probably when I was 19, so my adult life, I guess, my college life. And I mean, I had met gay people before, but they were closeted, oh,
right.
Or
you know,
like they were just going through a phase and had to go to like gay therapy, like, you know, Christian therapy or whatever. So no, it really was a very eye-opening world-changing experience for me to be around like different people that I had not grown up with, which I think is a big issue in all churches in general, no matter what religion you're a part of. There's always a lot of judgment passed on the other, whoever the other is. And I truly believe that 99% of the time, if people would just spend time with those people, they would find their belief systems changed. Okay, cool. I'm going to time you now.
Okay, let's go.
Hold on. Okay, wait. I'm going to do... Okay, ready?
Yep.
Set, go.
All right, the life story of Taylor Christine Annalise Walters Chapman. Let's start there. I was born in the swamps of Tallahassee, Florida, where my dad threw in the middle name Annalise without telling my mother.
Rude.
They did not last as a couple. Okay, so we got a little divorce in there pretty young. Did I really understand it? No! Was it fine? Yes. So, by the time I had gotten through preschool, both of my parents had met their other significant others. Now I have the same stepmom and stepfather. No more divorces after that. They are both so happily married. So, with those marriages, I now have 3 stepsisters. I have 3 stepbrothers and a half-brother. Mm-hmm. But, about when I was 9 years old, I moved to Illinois. And that was with my mom and my stepdad. one of my half-brothers and one of my stepbrothers. And I remained best friends with all of the girls that I was best friends with from kindergarten to this day. Basically, I would go back every summer and every winter break to Tallahassee.
Oh, wow.
And I would just have a grand old time with those girls. And that made it kind of hard to make any lasting friends in Illinois, though. And I got really, really sad about that. And basically, so I had moved in like fourth grade, fifth grade. I was in the children's choir for the high school production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yes.
And my world was opened wide. Bow, 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 bow. If you ask my stepdad about the first time that he met me, he will tell you that I got on a coffee table, danced and sang for a half hour, and then went back into my room instead of introducing myself.
That sounds like
he said to my mom, he said, did she prepare that? Is that part of something they're doing in school? And my mom said, no, that's just Taylor.
That's amazing.
So it wasn't like this was an undiscovered talent. I'd always loved performing. But when I did Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, I was like, ooh, this is the thing I want to do.
You have 2 minutes left.
Went into, shoot, okay, junior high doesn't matter. High school was just horrible. I never had any friends really that were my age. It was always like the kids a year older. I spent 3 years of high school eating my lunch in the choir teacher's lounge because I was secretly taking orchestra during my lunch hour because I am a nerd.
Yes.
Yeah, somewhere in there, I got really serious about taking voice lessons, viola. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do with my life for sure, for sure, for sure.
For sure, for sure, for sure.
I moved to Chicago when I was 18 to go to UIC. And basically it was like, as soon as I moved here, I was home for like 5 days for winter break of my freshman year. And I was like, no, not coming back here. So I moved into my first apartment right away.
Nice.
And, started hustling on the nanny game, like right away.
Nice.
And, was working really hard and was really enjoying, all my like really tight friendships, with the people in my ensemble there. And so, you know, that pretty much sustained me, into when I graduated in 2015, I was thrust into like the real world, started paying my own rent and whatnot, and, got into my first real relationship. Ooh. Where I fell in love.
Yep.
And, we moved in together.
Okay. That's where I'm in the story now. Go
now ahead. You're in the story. And then he turned out to be a liar and a narcissist and lots of other things I don't know about.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
Okay. So, but last year I also got diagnosed with all of my mental health stuff and have since been like really enjoying therapy and group and stuff. And I also have been doing a lot of singing and writing and opera, and Clem.
And your dog, Clem. Yeah, and it. 4, 3, 2, 1,
okay.
0. Lovely. Isn't that hard and tiring?
I didn't realize.
To talk about yourself for
minutes? It wasn't tiring because I have a lot to say. But
No. But then you keep going. But yeah.
I didn't realize it would go so quick.
I know. Well, that's the thing is you start talking about like, you know, elementary school and then you're like, wait, it's been 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing that Hannah and I talked about too is there's so much to unpack about your upbringing and like just stuff that happens to you
yeah.
that affects like who you are now. And, like, even thinking back, like, you said you were, like, a pretty, like, you know, didn't have many friends in high school and stuff like that. And there was something you mentioned that I wanted to ask about. I kind of remember what it is. It'll probably come back to me in a little bit. When do you feel like you, like, I feel like some people always have this kind of idea, like, when did I came into my own? Like, when do you feel like you became the true Taylor that you are today?
I can think of, like, I feel like 3 really pivotal points in my life. The first is when I was 9 and I moved to Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and I hated it so much.
Yes.
I hated the people. I hated the land. I didn't understand why there were no trees. And
oh, you think there's no trees here?
Well, in Bloomington Normal, have you looked there?
Yes. It's just funny compared to where I'm
yes,
from.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
But I'm used to having like a forest for my
right.
backyard.
And I'm used to having legitimately
very
nothing.
Very sparse, yeah. And so I hated that. I hated how there was no wildlife around except for like rabbits.
Right.
And
where are the freaking alligators?
Well, yeah. Anyway, and so, like, I remember moving here and being like, oh, I'm, like, on my own now, and I have to, like, be a person now, and, like, I am responsible for that. I'm no longer part of a town.
Right.
I, like, now have to, like, be a person, like, and be accepted as, you know...
As Taylor.
Yeah.
What was the next one?
The next one would be when my friend Rachel died in high school. And it's okay. She had terminal cancer. Mm. And she'd beat it before, so I just thought that she would beat it again. Yeah. And then she died like literally the weekend I was supposed to go visit her, but I couldn't because of the snow.
No.
That's like terrible. That really put things into perspective for me and my friend group of like what's important and like.
And you were how old again?
That was when I was 15.
Mm, okay.
Because I remember I couldn't drive.
Interesting. Okay.
And that like I remember after that like all of us like we didn't do like petty shit anymore. We were just like this isn't important. Let's just go hang out.
Yeah.
And like
it's interesting you talk about that because there's a sort of a I had similar experiences in high school. There was a 2-year stretch where specifically the choir department and our like high school had like several deaths in a row.
Yeah.
Not to get too much detail, and they weren't people I knew super well, but it was like a very intense like wake up call of like people can die and things. And then there was something, and JT, my roommate, and I, you know JT, we've talked about this a lot, that we had a big tragedy happen to us one year in Texas where we lost 5 cast members during the show. And so like going through any tragedy during a formative time in your life is it's just sort of, like you said, puts things in perspective to where, like, petty shit, like, you can think about it, you're like, no, nothing, this doesn't matter at all.
Right.
What was the third one?
And I think the last, like, truly, like, formative thing was when I got my diagnosis last year.
Okay, and so very recently.
I didn't realize how much my mental illness was affecting my my everyday, like, I wasn't sleeping and I wasn't eating and I wasn't pooping like a normal person and apparently I had never been pooping like a normal person and it was because of my stuff and
it is crazy. It's holistic. It affects everything. It's part of your systems.
Like I remember like 2 weeks on my medication because the one that I take is one that like it gets into your system right away.
Sure.
You don't have to wait a month or anything like some others. And
did you feel like awake and amazing, or how did it
I
feel?
Literally slept for like a week.
Oh yeah, it was like your body was my like, body, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, my body was like, oh, I don't need to be pumping adrenaline all of the time.
No.
And I started like pooping regularly. Oh, I can't. I literally. Yeah. I cannot stress enough. Like, if you have digestive issues, you know, like how sacred it is
to just have fucking shit.
Just have a week.
Where you're like, these poops have been good.
Where it's been fine, and, like, I had never experienced that in my entire life. Mm. And then, like, realizing, like, how I was operating was good for emergencies, but not for building long, successful friendships and connections and things.
Ties,
Then that was, like, super eye-opening now. And now that I, like, have all these tools and, like, understanding of the way that, like, I work... I feel like I like understand things in a way that I have never.
That's really good.
Before.
That's really good. And that's something like I had my big depressive thing at 19 but then I had college and kind of just kept running and didn't really look or examine anything.
Yeah.
So like the last 3 years have been outside of college have been also an examination, a self-examination of like, how do I work? And, I don't think I've had as, eye-opening, I think, is experienced yet, but that's also very, I mean, it's all a journey.
Yeah.
It's all a journey.
It definitely
is. We're running low on time, so you should ask me your question real fast.
Okay. It's not, I don't think you'll have too much to say about it.
I actually already know my answer, and it's
yes, it's right. And you said it, spoiler alert, he's already said it.
It's actually not that.
Oh, okay. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
This is very mundane, it's very simple, but it would simply be to...
Poop normally.
No. It would be able to, to draw... well.
Oh!
Because I have a lot... To be able to take the images in my head and make art with them that is tangible and physical, and I say draw, but, you know, whether that's digitally, paint, whatever, I that is the one thing I... And that's the thing is, like, I could do that with a lot of practice, but there's also so many other things in my life that I'm trying to get good at, and drawing would be... something that I like do for fun sometimes that I really wish I could just like take the ideas I have in my head and draw them and make them look the way I want them to look.
Yeah.
Just like that, without having to practice a lot.
Right.
And that's just, I mean, I have thought about this a lot. So when I had this question, I was like, I know what my answer is. And it's very simple. And it's not world changing and it's not personality changing. It's very much just like a fun, selfish thing I wish I could do. I've written like comic books before, like scripts for comic books. Yeah. But, you know, you have to find
an artist
who has time or that you can pay to draw them. And it would be very cool for me because there are so many creative pursuits that I would like to do and so many projects I'd like to do that would be made very, that if I could do them all myself by drawing, I could do it, which would be nice. And I know you can learn, people can learn to draw.
Right.
I could learn to be better at it. But once again, I only have so much time during the day and yeah. I've got to make a podcast and I got to make music right. and I got to learn lines and I got to rehearse. So like, you know what I mean?
Something I was thinking about when I was answering this question is about how I often feel like a jack of all trades, but a master of none.
Oh, same.
And I think that like if I didn't choose like some unachievable quality/ability, I would want to just be a master of one thing and have it be the thing that could get me the most work.
Totally. I totally know what you mean there. And because we are both Renaissance man, quote unquote. We are
yeah.
Renaissance people who are multi-talented and can do several different things well. And I feel that way all the time because I'm like, and I joke about it all the time. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm above average at several instruments.
Yes.
And I'm a pretty good singer, but I'm not really great at any of those things.
Right.
Like, I'm never going to play a violin solo and someone's gonna be like, that changed my life and was the best thing I've ever heard.
See, I feel like I'm really great at like 30% of the stuff that I do, but my time is spread over 100% of it.
See, for me, I feel like I'm above average at like 60% of the stuff I do. And then, like, I have time to maybe be very good at, like, 15% of it.
Got it.
And then the other 25 is, like, sleeping, I guess. Great at sleeping.
Okay, well, you guys already heard my answer.
Yes.
The
weird bell that I still don't understand the rules of, but I like.
I love it, too. We just finished set one.
We did all the questions in set one, all 12 of them.
Yes.
And we've written 12 songs. We've written 6 songs each.
Yes.
That's an album.
That's an album
we
right there.
We could make an album
That's
right now and
true.
Sell it. And not make any money because no one would buy it. And yes. So the thing about these sets is that they sort of progress in intensity
yes.
and intention as you go. So set one was easy.
Oh, so
well, not
easy,
easy but they get more personal and they get more in depth as you go on.
Yeah.
So for instance, what's the two questions for next week, Taylor?
Okay, number 13 is if a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself.
Oh, jeez, Louise.
Your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
Jeez, I'm
or crying. I know. Or number 14, is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time? Why haven't you done it?
Damn.
Yeah.
Calling me out on my shit.
Yeah, you got it.
These questions are being, first off, getting personal. Second off, rude.
Yeah.
Very rude. How dare you pass judgment? I'm busy. That's why I haven't done things. Do you have a preference?
I kind of want to do the crystal ball one.
Okay.
Myself.
I'll take the other one.
Okay, great.
Because I don't want to do the crystal ball one because
okay,
it makes
perfect.
Me too sad.
Okay, well, that's great.
Cool. So thank you for listening, dear friends, dear listeners. You're welcome for turning in an episode that was a little less combative and less full
yep.
of like just drama. Once again, hit us up on all the things. If you like the songs, you want to listen to the songs, you can go to SoundCloud on Popping the Questions on SoundCloud, and that's where all the songs are by themselves. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, I keep forgetting to post the questions, but I will post them anyway. It's Popping the Cues. Send us an email at poppingthequestionspod@gmail.com. And Taylor, tell them about the Facebook group.
Yeah, come join our Facebook group. We're going to start doing a weekly positivity thread.
Yes.
As these questions get more intense, it's always good to just lighten it up with something that you're grateful for.
Yes.
Or like something that you accomplished or whatever.
That you're looking forward to that you've done recently that you like. So
yeah.
Some good conversations still happening over there. We're going to start pumping in some more like just things throughout the week to sort of generate some positivity and some happiness and some connection with people.
Yeah.
I think that's everything.
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for listening.
Bye.
And call your parents.
Call your mom.
And Just be like, what's up? Check out these cool new podcasts. Have you heard these songs?
And ask her something about herself.
Yeah. Because you know what? You're always talking about yourself to your mom.
Yeah, maybe be less selfish. Maybe the bell ain't ringing.
Right. She's like, my wasted time bell is going off like crazy. Yeah. And you're like, how do you know about that? You listen to Popping the Questions? And she's like, yes, I'm a big fan.
Okay, bye. Bye. Pop.